This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, episode number 64. My name's Kevin Larrabee, and along with us this week is Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com and also JimmySmithTraining.blogspot.com.
Nice, you got both of them in. How are you, Kev?
I'm great. I mean, I made sure I had an extra sip of water so I could get that all out there and an extra breath of air. And also we have Jen Heath with us.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing pretty good, and you can check her site out at jenheath.com, and we'll just jump right into it because I know, Jen, you had an article up on NWA this week. Do you want to talk about that briefly?
MWA, not NWA.
I said MWA. You just can't.
Sound like you said N, and that stands for a completely different thing if you know, like, 80s rap or early 90s rap, so.
Or, like, WCW.
Oh, okay, boys. Article. It was about training on low carbs. And it gives two different variations of training on a weekly schedule that you can follow. One is more based around strength, increasing strength, and one is more based around the idea of body recomposition. Ideally, depending on your nutrition numbers, body recomposition is going to happen on either one of those plans. But, you know, that's the gist of the article. This basically lets you know that there's a very strategic way to set up your training if you're going to cycle on low carbs or do an anabolic diet type nutrition plan to get maximal results out of your training. Any questions?
They know none for me.
None for me, but I got to check out the article early, so I'm special. But you can check that out. If you go to tnation.com, there's the tab on the top that's it says MWA. And then you can either do that or just go to musclewithattitude.com. You can check that out. I think it's still the top article on the website.
Yeah, it is. It's,
and it's not just a website for women. You guys out there should be checking that out, too. There's some great information on that site from Jen, from Cassandra, from Rachel Cosgrove as well. So
you got stuck there, buddy.
I did a little bit. I'm like, it's been a while. Well, anyways,
you know, we talk about it all the time. Like when I talk with Cass and when I talk with Jen, we always talk about how there's like probably like four women you can name in the fitness industry. So like even when you go to seminars, like there'll be like one or two women in the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like there's really it's such a male dominated industry. And I mean, you can see why, but you know, there's always room for more women in it that know their stuff. So for the women out there, that's for you.
That actually reminds me, Jimmy, are you still going to that seminar up in Canada?
No,
I'm not going up.
I'm not going to go up there in Canada. I actually went and got my passport, but I looked into the flight and I was like, I don't feel like going through a lot of like the flying. I'm not a big flyer to have to do like layovers.
Yeah, I saw that.
Things like that, like not happen.
Yeah, I don't know if and it's going to cost a good amount of money to get up there, but that's all right. Let's move on. Someone emailed me, someone who read my blog post on the anabolic diet, because like I mentioned on the show last week, I've been on it for the past week now. Or you guys will be hearing this on Sunday, so at that point I would have been on the anabolic diet for a week. And they wanted me to give weekly updates along with as a complimentary to the blog post, but I don't know what you want me to say about the update. I mean, I feel all right. I mean,
Well, no, I think people, Kev, were just really looking for you to give like a more in-depth talk about like what's going on, because a lot of times people don't know what to expect, so that keeps them from going low carb or from going on like an anabolic diet type thing. Because the anabolic diet in nature can be very intimidating when you haven't dieted that way before. So I think people were looking for like how are your strength numbers. You know, and if you want to do that, put it up on the site every day. Just put up the numbers you put up in your training or something like that. But I think people are more looking for the energy, because a lot of times it's not the energy within the train. It's the energy of, like, daily life after. Like, I have clients that I deal with now online that email me every single day to tell me, give me just energy updates, more or less, that just talk about like how their energy's, how they're feeling. So I think that's kind of something you should look into too.
Yeah, as far as energy, I mean, I feel fine. I feel like I've just been eating like I normally eat, which is usually around like 100 grams of carbs a day, and now I'm obviously eating at 30 grams or lower, or minus one or two here or there. But I mean, I feel fine. My energy has been normal. But I do drink 5 cups of green tea a day, with 2 packets or 2 tea bags in each cup. So
a lot of green tea. That's
damn near. A lot of green tea.
I love it. I'm totally for you drinking that much. Like there's days I drink a lot too, but that's just a lot of caffeine.
Well, it's not that much. I mean, I use the Celestial Seasons green tea, and there's I think it's 20 milligrams of caffeine per bag. So yeah, it's 20 milligrams per bag. So that's 200 milligrams. That's nothing. That's like,
well, yeah,
that's like a serving of spike.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also different, nutrients in it. And, I mean, you also have to watch green tea. You're going to need more of it to actually get the fat-burning effects. Most people are just taking or just getting the antioxidant effect, and if that's what you're taking it for, fine. But for fat loss effect, you're actually going to have to take a little bit more.
No, I'm just using it for energy, and I like the blueberry breeze. It tastes good, and the raspberry flavor.
Well, do you find yourself relaxed with the green tea, Kev?
Yeah, no, I don't get like energy spikes. I feel
tea,
fine throughout the whole day.
Because green tea contains a lot of thiamine, which is very much a central nervous system relaxant. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why when a lot of people take a lot of green tea, they don't get that amped feeling. But
no, I mean, I feel fine. The only thing I'm taking in terms of a stimulant is I have some spike pills that I just take pre workout. To make sure my workouts are going well. And my workouts haven't suffered at all. I mean, I'm in the first week right now, and I lifted this morning. I kind of lifted out of schedule as far as my day went because I just had to lift unexpectedly. But my lifts were still good. I got in some nice strong rack pulls. Incline bench was good. So, I mean, I'm feeling physically pretty good. And I was talking to Jen yesterday, and she said probably starting next week is when my workouts might deteriorate a little bit because I'm going into the second week of that transition phase before I get my first carb up next weekend. So that's something I'm going to look out for, but I'm not too worried right now. And I told Jen I'm on... What's that, Jen?
It's just temporary. It's just a couple days. It happens to most everybody.
Yeah, and I'm just going to stick with it as long as my strength doesn't decrease and everything else is fine, which I don't see any problems. I have no problem sticking to the diet. Like, it's like I can eat hamburgers, I can eat cheese, I got chicken breasts, and I picked up some of that seasoning that we talked about on last week's show, and I tried some of that stuff out, and it helped a lot.
I have no problem with... going low carb for like a long time. Are you finding it's an issue with you, Kev?
I mean, physically?
Yeah, like physically, like, are you? Do you need like? Do you feel like you need to have carbs?
Right now, I feel like this is kind of odd because even when I've like in the past I've gone on like a high fat, high protein, I'd be eating that way, and right now I don't have any cravings for anything. I mean. I'm not even drinking like diet soda. Like I've been drinking is water. I haven't even been having a lot of artificial sweeteners, except for I have. All I have is the Crystal Light, where I throw in some creatine, and I have some branched chain amino acids 3 times throughout the day. That's pretty much all my artificial sweeteners, and I mean, I feel fine. Like, tonight, I'm going to have a treat. I'm going to have a couple things of sugar-free Jell-O. I have some raspberry sugar-free Jell-O cups. I'm going to have 2 of those. That's going to be my treat for this week. Like, I think
high-fat diets suck. I'm not really a fan of high-fat diets as much anymore.
Why?
As I used to. Well, I mean, you have to look at it. Granted, yes, if you have poly or mono unsaturated fats, so like your omegas, that's one thing, but... saturated fat people go, I think, too overboard, and I think the pendulum swung that people want to consume more and more saturated fat. Like, if you tell a client they can have natural peanut butter, it's going to be hard for people to stop at, like, one tablespoon.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm not.
That's the thing. I mean, if you're going to have a high-fat diet, you're better off having it come from your poly and monounsaturated sources, because saturated fat still is fat. And what you also have to realize is that when you're taking high amounts of poly and mono, the fats that you're going to have to alter, you know, what other fats you're taking in. So, like, the saturated fats you're getting from your almonds and your walnuts, you just can't say, I'm going to take 20 grams of fish oil a day and still think you can eat fat regularly, because you have to understand how fat gets stored in the body. Like, and I hate when I go and I read people that say, well, fat is turned to cholesterol, which, you know, growth hormone, testosterone. It's not going to affect you at all. Like, what's it going to be, 0.1 IU of growth hormone, which is absolutely nothing? I mean, so it's like, I think we've gone overboard. Like, I would never tell anybody to go on a low-fat diet, because that would just be pulling the industry back, like, another 5 years. But I just think that since our focus is going on low-carb, people have a little too much freedom with fat, and you need to control fat in your diet, because, again, you have to understand how fat is going to be stored. And granted, when our carbohydrates are low, it's not going to be stored as readily, but at the same time, fat is still fat. I'm a big poly and monounsaturated fat person, like, but I just think that people have to be cautious not to overdo it in the fat a lot.
Well, do you have any, like, tips that people could follow if they're following a diet such as the anabolic diet? Or I know there's other things, like Men's Health now has, Adam Campbell had his book come out, which is...
diet. Yeah, and that's more based on, and I like that approach, because Adam and Jeff Volek both do, based on, they call it, TNT stands for, like, targeted nutrition, or tactical nutrition, something like that, but it's a targeted carbohydrate approach, and I think that's going to be more beneficial than just totally wiping all your carbs out. Like, I think when you have to look at it as that, if you do the, and again, the whole nutrient timing theory, it is what it is, but if you do it properly, you're going to be able to lose a good amount of fat and not lose all the muscle mass. So I think the thing is, you have to be careful, like, with saturated fat. Like, I'm not a huge fan of, like, a lot of red meats. Again, I'm not a huge fan of chicken as well. I have to pay attention to the argonic acid. I didn't pronounce that right, but because that's an omega-6, and that's a pro-inflammatory. So people think they're eating a lot of chicken and meat, which is very high in AA, and they're thinking they're right. But, you know, there's other issues there. I mean, that's being sold as a supplement, and that can be potentially converted to testosterone in the body, which obviously is going to be anabolic. But at the same time, my whole point of my little rant is just be open-minded. Like, when people diet, like, don't go overboard with the decreasing the carbs. Don't go overboard with the raising the fats. And protein is special, but not too special. So, I don't know. Jimmy, I'm done. Done with my rant for the day. I won't talk the rest of the show.
We should get Jimmy Smith ranting music. Just play it when he comes, starts ranting. But, I mean, obviously, you make a lot of valid points, and... like I said, I'm giving this thing a shot, see where it takes me. And
no, I think you should. I mean, like I told you, me and Kevin talked about the anabolic diet before, and I had told them, you know, what I thought about it, but at the same time, I told them, you know, try it. Like, and that's how everybody learns. Like, there's, to be honest, when I first diet after, you know, a long winter or whatever, I'll do a very anabolic diet based approach. And you have to understand, like, what works for you. Like, you have to play with the variables. Like, go on an anabolic diet for a couple weeks, then go on, like, a targeted nutrition strategy. Then go on, you know, something where you're just consuming a lot of healthy calories, good calories. So, I don't know. You were going to say something, though, Jen? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was just going to add, you know, the anabolic diet is best if there's an awesome balance of, like, a little bit less saturated fat. Not, I mean, you want to eat some red meat during the week, you know, and cheese or whatever, but a lot of poly and monounsaturated fats. I'm a big advocate of throwing oils and stuff in the shakes and, you know, flax and just various fats in there. And if you can get a good menu and make it very well-rounded, the anabolic diet is a targeted macronutrient diet. And it seems to defeat the purpose of doing the anabolic diet, in, at least in my opinion, without doing one of the two training schemes that I wrote about, because... the whole point of the anabolic diet is to deplete your muscles so that everything you eat on your carb load can be stored and you can reboost fat-burning hormones and signalers in your body. So if you it's kind of a combination, and if you get the nutrition right and don't abuse any one type of fat, it served its purpose in a whole entire scheme when you look at it from a combined training and nutrition perspective. But the way I diet my clients is, you know, I never start anyone out on the anabolic diet. But ever since I've been writing about it, since I happen to know some stuff about it, people want to try it. So there's a few people that are on it now. But the way I have always dieted my clients is, and we talk about this on interviews and here on the show, is higher calories on weight training days and certain, you know, timing of macronutrients and caloric ceilings on those days, and then other days where you're not training so hard or you're doing more cardiovascular-oriented exercise to, you know, restrict the calories a little bit, control, you know, it controls your body fat on those days. And so it's like a daily and a weekly progression of managing your body composition through timing and macronutrient manipulation and stuff. So either method is good. It's just not, it's never good to abuse one aspect of any program. It's really important to focus on all the factors that go into any one scheme and master all of them equally so that you're not losing out on any benefits. So that's my take.
And Kevin's not paying attention again.
Well, I'm paying attention. I just didn't know if I didn't know if you were gonna say anything else, Jimmy. I don't
know. No, I'm done. I'm done.
And I think some kind of awkward silence is interesting sometimes. So
it's never interesting at all. I mean, this dude, we're not like
in high school. I think everyone's just sitting there thinking, "Man, another really good point made by Jen." I'm just
That's
kidding.
The whole complete opposite of
that. Shut up.
Is that necessarily somebody shut up on a show?
Come on, you know you're my homeboy. Just be nice.
You saying homeboy does not sound right. Move on, Kev.
All right. Well, last thing we're going to talk about in FitCast topics before we jump into the mailbag is what we wrote about this last week. But as we record this, Jimmy and Jen's articles aren't on the website, but it doesn't matter. They'll be up by the time people hear this. So we'll start off with Jen. Jen, what did you write about for the site this week?
Well, what we talked about two shows ago when I was on the show, which was high-intensity interval training outside the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I miss because I got LASIK on my eyes, and now I can see 20/15. I'm so excited. And I've been lazy and didn't do anything, but I thought I would write about that. So I submitted, it's just a mini workout. You can do it anywhere. You can do it in your hotel room. You can do it when you jump out of bed in the morning next on the floor. I mean, you can do it while you're watching TV. I did it the other night while I was watching Blades of Glory, which is very funny. So, you know, it's a good little workout you can do, and it's pretty hard.
Jen, I have a question. If you said your vision is 2015 now, what was it before?
I don't know. 20, like, some hundred, some exorbitant high number in the hundreds. Wow. For any of the people who are familiar with prescriptions, there's like, for LASIK, you can be like a zero negativity, or that's good vision, or you could be like, the highest is like 7, 7.5, I think, that they would even consider, and I was a 6.5. So I was basically legally blind without contacts.
Wow.
So I'm just doing fantastic. I'm so happy.
So now, were you not wearing your contacts when you met Jimmy?
So I've never met her, so.
Oh.
Yeah. Kills your little joke, huh?
Bombed there. All right. Well, Jimmy, what did you write about for the site?
You know, I'm just going to let people go to the site and find it because I want to create a little mystery. No, in all honesty, I don't know what I'm going to write about. It's going to be a good topic, though. I can tell you that.
No, the article you wrote for, like, pretty much last week.
I didn't write anything for last week either.
Oh, okay. So... Oh, yeah, I called you out. I forgot.
Yeah. Kevin sent an email to everybody on the FitCast, all four of us, the co-hosts. And he's like, Jimmy and Keith, please have your articles to me by tonight ASAP. Hang on, send an
Keith
email.
Keith got his.
Yeah, well, Keith is, I guess, better than me.
True that. All right. Well, for me personally, like I mentioned earlier in the show, I started talking about the anabolic diet. I'm going to do a couple weeks' worth, of talking about that. Pretty much I mentioned what's like how supplements changed as I went on the diet. Nothing too dramatic. Yeah, that's pretty much it. You can go check those out at thefitcast.com. And also, for Keith, he wrote about high intensity interval training basics. And people seem to like that. That went up on Friday. And also, Tony wrote about like dumb things people do in the gym or something. He actually got a great response from that, so people should check it out. If you bear with me for a second, I'll actually tell you what it's called. It's called Dumb Things People Do, Part 1 of Infinity. So I think he has a bunch of these that he's going to be talking about. And he talks about people that pop their collar, that wear polo shirts.
Idiots.
And a bunch of people at college do that. And I don't want to have to drop an F-bomb, but I effing hate people that do that. It looks so stupid, especially with the guys like the frat boys with the pink polo shirts with the pop collar and the hat that's off to the side and up. Like, girls like this shit?
I don't like I don't like open-toe sandals. I mean, in or out the gym, you know, especially sandals with jeans. Like, how are you going to wear some sandals with some jeans? Like, that just looks hideous. I'm sorry. I mean, for women, it's one thing. Guys, completely different.
For guys out there, like, why... How do you think, like, looking like a scrub is going to help you get girls? That just doesn't make sense to me. Just clean your ass up and stop popping your collars. That's my rant for the week, and that's all I'm going to talk about for that. So, before we do go any further, though, we do have a ton of mailbag questions to answer this week. It's an all-mailbag edition of the FitCast, but we have to mention our sponsors quickly. So, first off, TurbulenceTraining.com boosts muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also, Black Star Labs, you can save 10% with the code FIT10. If you put that in the comments section, that's saving 10% off any order that you place, whether it's $5 or $100. So you can save some good money if you pick up a nice load of supplements through Black Star Labs, and that helps us out. That means they continue their sponsorship. So make sure to do that. And also, RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. And I messed that up this last week because I just said exercise enhancement. I don't think I said performance enhancement, but, or I didn't say exercise. That's all good. So let's jump into the mailbag, guys, because we do have a bunch of questions. One I actually just got this morning. We'll start with that one. It says, "Hi, Kevin. I really enjoy the podcast. Only been listening for a couple of months and have found a lot of it really useful, and I tried to, as I try and get into shape." I should probably pre-read these questions before I talk
about
them.
Yeah, that would help.
I know. I have a question for you and the team. As I find the free gym, I guess he has a free gym, that's pretty sick. A free gym, frustratingly crowded in the evenings, especially the free weights. The machines are a ghost town. I'm thinking of switching to early morning workouts. Is there anything I should be aware of with regards to nutrition, warming up, or anything else in regards to hitting the weights before work? Thanks, and keep up the great work." And that's from Ash, who is actually a listener in the UK. So that's jolly old fantastic. I don't know what to say in England. But. So what do you guys suggest? I mean, one thing, when I have to do really early morning workouts, I make sure I warm up pretty thoroughly, because if you're just rolling out of bed and you're going to deadlift or squat, you really get to wake yourself up. So I'd give yourself at least, like, just try to wake up a half an hour earlier and give yourself a good 45 minutes or an hour before, after you wake up, to even hit the weights, because I'm sure Jimmy can talk about the effect you have after sleeping for so long. I know you're some of your vertebrae are kind of tight. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, well, no. What actually happens is your spine actually increases its length as you sleep, because it's going to pull water to it. It actually I'm trying to think of the word. You're going to store water basically. Your spine's going to get longer, which is going to make it more susceptible to facet injuries. It's going to. I don't know why I'm losing my train of thought right now. It's going to facet injuries, lumbar flexion based issues. So, like, when you go into, like, a lumbar flexion, like some people do when they're deadlifting improperly, it's going to increase the stress there, so increased risk of herniation. Basically, you shouldn't do any heavy bending or pulling within the first hour of waking up.
There you go. Well, is there... So you should pretty much wait an hour after waking up before even go, if you're doing any real major lower body movements.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, what I typically do, like on a Saturday morning when I get up to work out, I'll typically wait like a half hour, but I'm only doing like upper body stuff, and it's not really that intense. But if you're waking up in the morning to go work out, like there's no way you can go and actually get a decent squat session within the first hour of waking up. There's compression on your spine, it's going to be way too great. Within about 45 minutes, your spine loses the majority of the water it's holding. So, like, that's a positive. But at the same time, initially, like, you have to really make sure your hip mobility is there.
Well, what do you guys think you should be doing in regards to nutrition? What do you usually have your clients say? I mean, after going overnight, his glycogen stores might need a nice little refuel in the morning to just really get himself going. Do you have him do, like a 2-to-1 carb to protein shake?
Me? No, I actually don't. It depends on their goals. If they're going fat loss, then they'll probably just get a just like a protein shake, kind of like...
Or like a branched chain amino acid shake, like ice from Black Star Labs. Sorry.
No. But they'll kind of get like a... I know you're trying to throw the sponsorship in, but...
So you want them to get more calories and...
Can you...
Can I?
Thanks. No, initially they'll get probably like a whey casein mix because I want to minimize their insulin response because we have to remember that aminos are... can raise insulin to a certain degree as well, not as much as carbohydrate, but at the same time. So I want a little slow response of something like I know Metabolic Drive is halfway, half casein, and some of those other proteins out there. They'll take that and then they'll go train just on that. Now, if their energy is an issue or if they're trying to actually put on size, they'll have something like an oatmeal before they go to train. So,
Jen, do you have any tips for them?
You know, I agree with what Jimmy said, pretty much.
Thank you.
I'm good.
Would you guys have him warm up? Obviously, we don't know what Ash is doing for a warm up, but making sure he's spending at least 10 or 15 minutes warming up. Would that sound reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely make sure he gets on and gets a good warm, because remember now he's laying down, he's prone all night, so he would be doing like a ton of I don't know what magnificent mobility calls them, but I call them cat camels, where you roll your Sam, roll your hips out.
Some
quadruped rocking. He would do some psoas stretching, some rectus stretching, and dynamic orbs for there. Just overall general hip mobility stuff, just to get his hips. This is assuming now he's going to squat. If it's upper body, it's different. But if he's doing any lower body work, he should really, really focus on his hip mobility, raise his core body temperature, and then get after it.
Sounds good. So, Ash, I hope that helps. And also, if it were me, I'd probably get some caffeine in me before I just jumped onto the weights. But that's just me.
You need caffeine to train, dude?
I do.
Do you really?
I tend to train about an hour and a half after I wake up. So, yeah, I usually need a nice kick in the ass to get myself really going in the gym, especially right now. Like, I feel like I could use some spike. I might actually order some of the spike shooters. You know they have a new flavor of the spike shooter that you can get at discountanabolics.com?
No, I didn't.
It's like some lime flavor. Cool. It's like lemon-lime spike shooter crap. But I might pick some of that stuff up. Anyways, we'll keep moving on. We get another question from a listener. How much do you guys implement metabolic training into your workouts and also the workouts for your clients?
Go ahead,
Jen. Medicine ball?
Yes.
Okay.
Medicine ball or metabolic?
Medicine ball.
Yeah, I think he said metabolic, but I know he meant to say medicine ball.
I said med ball.
All right.
Oh.
Medicine ball.
You have an accent.
I have an accent.
You're Canadian.
Then you don't have an accent. Okay, I'm out of this. Medicine ball training.
Jen, this floor is yours.
When has medicine ball training become funny?
No, I'm just laughing at you guys. You are so funny. You know, I like to use a medicine ball for a certain push-up during, like, chaotic-type cross-trainer-type workouts. I'll throw those sets in there, like push-up off the floor and catch yourself on the medicine ball repeated times is very difficult. Clapping before you land on the ball is even harder. And as far as, like, any sort of calisthenic workouts that you do that are either warm-ups or just, like, in between or whatever, I mean, medicine ball throws, all sorts of, you know, twisting, throwing with the medicine balls. I mean, I don't do it a lot, but some people really like it. So, there you go.
I'll jump in since Jimmy's silent for once.
Well, no, I'm here, but I was waiting for you to do your job and transition the show, dude.
Well, you know what? Screw that. This is as much everyone else's show than it is my show, right? So
know,
if you want to talk,
gonna,
you can talk.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say, oh, Jen, that's good. Jimmy, what do you think? I'm not going to do that. Like,
that's fine. Know. I hear you. Well, anyways, as people might have remembered, I mean, I did a lot of med ball circuits when I was training at Excel, and I continue that in a varied fashion up here at school. I'm not doing anything right now while I'm on the anabolic diet, but we have three basketball courts side to side, and we have a wood court, and a rubber court, and they allow me to throw medicine balls against the wall on the rubber court. So luckily up here, I actually have the ability to do it, whereas I didn't at the nice quote-unquote health club that I had to train at, partially at home. But yeah, I like being inventive. Like I got obviously some tools from Eric from the med ball circuits that he showed me up there, and really I just been changing it up and just, I mean, be inventful and throw some things together. I know there's some med ball videos online. There's the video of me with horrible posture on thefitcast.com of me doing one of the med ball circuits that Eric put together, but just change it up, throwing med balls against the wall and making a circuit out of it. But that's good stuff. And my posture is fantastic now. It is pristine. I can't wait to see you again, Jimmy. You're going to be like, wow.
Yeah, I'll just wait till I see that. But in terms of medicine balls with me, I don't really use them a lot. I think partly it's because of my training environment. The gym I train at doesn't have a drywall, and the one I did before only had like an 8-pound med ball, so I don't really use it. Because of that, in my clients' training, some of them will use it. I work with some therapy-based people. I have one client right now who is a golfer, and she has arthritic thumbs, so she really has trouble gripping more or less everything. So a lot of the stuff she uses is med balls, like for her lunges and things like that. I will use them basically for like a lot of abdominal circuits, like Russian twists, movements like that. So I use it, but not too frequently, though, unless like it's a specific case.
All right, well,
no, I just thought of another, as far as abdominal workouts, and I don't know why I don't do these anymore. They're really hard. They're just on the decline bench, and you just throw it up in the, it's just another way to stimulate a negative. You just throw it way up in the air and catch it. And, an awesome abdominal exercise with med ball that I used to do a lot. Maybe I'll do that next time I go to the gym. So, there's some things you can do with med balls that are good if you've got them, like Jimmy said.
Well, if you do it, let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Well, jumping into the next question, which actually relates to something we just talked about, but do you guys condone energy drinks? I tend to drink one or two a day, usually pre-workout. So for your clients, we'll start with Jimmy this time. Jimmy, are you okay with your clients having, like, I'm guessing he's talking about Red Bull or more of the things that are on the market. I know there's some crazy ones like the Monster drink, which have, like, I think it's 320 milligrams of caffeine in the can. But what are your guidelines when it comes to that?
I am definitely against that simply because, I mean, you know, the whole adrenal fatigue thing, like, yeah, like that thing. I used to love drinking energy drinks, but you don't need them anymore. A lot of times, now, like you said, it's the more is better mentality. So like they'll go with like a lot of caffeine, a lot of other stimulants. You know, I've said before, we're just totally overstimulated. And if a client needs to have an energy drink to get up for a workout, there's an issue right there. That should be telling that client they have whatever you want to call it, adrenal fatigue, chronic fatigue syndrome, whatever it is, and they need to back off and they need to address that. Because doing that, having these big energy drinks before they go in, may make the client feel great and, you know, may even get their thermogenic rate up. But in all, they're not going to burn, you know, any more calories, you know, because of that, you know, and to have a significant impact. And I just think it's just further delaying their training. And again, like the nutrients that are in there, like I know one that I used to drink had like a half a gram of taurine in it. Like that's not going to do anything. You know, so now it's kind of the more is better mentality. So I'm not cool with my clients having it. You know, once in a while, whatever, if I'm really working with a strength athlete who maybe that day is going to perform like a PR in a squat or in a deadlift, yeah, you know, they'll be able to use some caffeine. We also have to remember, like, on a receptor level, that if we keep taking like all this caffeine in, our body's going to get a little desensitized itself to it, so we're going to need more and more of it to have this effect. So we have to look at it from that perspective as well. So in the grand scheme of things, no, I don't really like them for my clients.
Oh, I was just going to say, I only drink energy drinks very sparingly. I'm not against them, but I'm definitely against having them every day, and I'm against having them as using an excuse to have energy for your workout. If you don't have energy for your workout, you didn't eat right. That's the end of the discussion. If you are, you don't have energy for, unless you're like in day 11 of induction on the AD. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense. If without, you know, has to be a specific thing that caused you to have no energy. If, you know, like I said, on the AD. But other than that, eat better. Eat better, wait longer to go do your workout, and only have an energy drink once or twice a week if you need it. That's my opinion.
Well, I only have an energy, I don't have the drinks, but I just take like one spike cap only on my lifting days. And it's just because I'm going to go for my defense that, and maybe for some people out there, like if I got a lift at 8:30 in the morning before class and I have no energy, I'd rather take something like Spike, get a little boost and have a better workout than wake up, feel like shit, and then have my workout suffer. Because I know I train better and I feel stronger and my lifts are better if I have some kind of stimulant before I go into the gym.
I hear you on that. I do. I hear you a little bit on that.
Say the that only again, danger
Chad? Is the whole thing.
No, like, what did you? Did you said my name? You were you asking me a question?
I was just gonna say. Well, I'm waiting for your response to that because
what?
I don't know. Did you have a response to that?
No, I didn't know what you said. I really wasn't paying attention.
Okay. Well. I was talking about how, as me personally, that. See now I lost my train of thought, but me personally, if I get to wake up early in the morning and I got to go train an hour and a half after I wake up, I benefit from having something like a Kappa Spike. I'm not taking in a ton of caffeine, but if I have a Kappa Spike and I have a better workout with Spike than without it, I'd rather just take it because I know my lifts suffer if I don't take something like that or if I don't have some kind of stimulant in me before
it's
I go to the
first
gym.
First thing in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, again, I'm not...
No one wakes up in the... Who wakes up in the morning and feels like, wow, I'm rolling, I bet I'm ready to go do some hit. Like, I just...
No, no one feels like they're going to do that. And, again, if it's an extreme situation and you're like a bodybuilder who's dying down for a contest, that's one thing. But, you know, no offense, Kev, but if you're just going to get a workout in and it's like, oh, damn, I have to go do hit, like... You know,
no, I
like man up.
If you're listening before, I said I only used it when I was actually going to lift. I don't ever use stimulants before I go to.
But I don't know. I still think when you wake up in the morning and have to go do it and you need a stimulant to do it, like I'm not gonna say it's bad, but at the same time, I personally can't see the need that man, my workout's gonna suck if I don't have this Red Bull or other energy drink. I don't want to offend Red Bull people if they're listening.
A natural solution. Jen's favorite thing to drink first thing in the morning when you're kind of dragging ass. How about this? Yerba mate tea. It's awesome. Kevin, how hyper was I the day that I called you that one day that I had drank that tea right before I called? Was I off the wall?
More than usual, yes.
Yes. I was super crazy, and it was like 9 a.m. It was insane. And so just... get some yerba mate, some powdered. It's Yerbamate. Stuff is the most badass natural energy booster on the face of the planet. And if you take that, I guarantee within 30 minutes you're going to be ready to go. It's just natural.
Yeah,
so,
but that's still, isn't that still considered like a stimulant?
It would be considered a stimulant, but it's not jacked like energy drinks are. It doesn't matter. If you're going to drink an energy drink, you're going to drink it. I mean, but you can also drink this yerba mate. And I still am not a fan of doing that every single day. I think having an energy drink every day does exactly what Jimmy said in the beginning, which is desensitizes your body to the, everything down regulates because your body gets dependent for energy on the substances that you're ingesting. So everything gets down regulated. So over time, of course, not within the first two or three days, but over the first two or three weeks, then when you go off of them, then you really have that excuse that you really need that energy drink because your natural ability to get energy is decreased. So, but I still like your Vermonte, but I do follow my own advice. I only drink about 2 to 3 a week, max. And sometimes it's not even before my training. It's just whenever I want one. Whenever I want to be really hyper, Kev.
Is there anything you wanted to add, Jimmy, before we just agree to disagree on this?
Yeah, we're just going to agree to disagree.
Yes, I said that. All right, our last question. Are there any real benefits of performing an overhead squat? Is it worth the time and the effort to get the technique down, and is the reward worth it? So I don't know the answer to this, so I'm going to shoot it out to you guys.
Go ahead, Jen.
I'm going to let Jimmy give the long answer, but the short answer is absolutely, absolutely yes, it's worth the benefit. I do them, and I have as many of my clients that can handle them do them. And if they can't, I get them doing full body weight squats, and as soon as I can get a little 5-pound dumbbell in their hands to get them working up, and this is like for my older female clients, I have them do them. Your functional strength is just better. Your core strength will be better. All of your lifts will be improved. Most importantly, front and back squat technique goes through the roof if you can perform proper overhead squats. Just your whole body balance and flexibility is overall better. Strength in the shoulders, the list is endless. Overhead squats are a keeper. That's my opinion. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Oh, well, apparently somebody on the show thinks I'm long-winded, so I'm going to have to cut it down.
I think everyone does.
Well, you know what? Then everybody can just bite me. How about that? Yeah, overhead squats, you should really do them. The issue a lot of people are going to have is people are really jacked up, like, in their lat, and their lat serratus tines. They're going to have issues when they have to end up going overhead. So I think everybody should do them. Like Jen said, core strength, improving the back squat, improving the front squat, it's all there when you have overhead squats. I would caution people that have some type of shoulder-based issue. They first have to clean that up, because if they have some type of issue with the humeral motion, you know, their scapula is still going to rise. They're still going to have issues there. So do them, but don't do them if you have complications with your shoulder. I think they're great exercise through and through. I can't say enough about them.
Well, very good. Everyone should be implementing those into their workouts. And I know my voice cracked a little bit. All right. I don't know what that comment means, Jimmy, so I'm just going to keep going.
What comment?
The one that you sent me through Skype.
Oh, well, yeah, ignore that, dude. You're supposed to be professional.
People like this stuff. All right, well, I think that's gonna wrap up the main portion of our show. Is there anything you guys want to talk about? Even this is going to be our off-topic discussion, so if anyone wants to pause or stop the podcast, feel free to do it right now. But is there anything on the top of your head?
First of all, don't tell people to pause the thing now. Let them decide for themselves, shouldn't you?
Oh yeah, no. I get a lot of emails from people that love the off-topic discussion. Awesome.
Well, I don't really have anything to say, which I'm sure surprises Jen, who now says I'm long-winded. But I don't have anything to say. I mean, I'm just I have nothing to say.
Being long-winded is a lot better than having nothing to say at all. And my opinion, and I'm not trying to pat Jimmy on the back here, but I think Jimmy's very smart, and I like listening to Jimmy's long-windedness. So anyone who has a problem with it or wants to tease him can come to me, okay?
Well, I mean, I try to have the success when I go out on Friday night, too, with women when I talk, so hopefully it'll carry over.
You're supposed to let the woman talk.
I know, but sometimes there's... Never mind.
Oh, that's true.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I would just say...
I'm going to agree with Jen first that Jimmy is a huge asset to the show.
No, you guys don't have to defend me. I don't care. I'm joking. I don't really give a damn. I mean, I've been made fun of enough online by people that just sit at computers all day that's really not going to offend me anymore. So, I don't care when you guys joke about that. I'm just trying to make fun of you back, Kev, to create more... antagonistic relationships in the show. So that's all. I don't really care. You guys don't have to offend me, but thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's all tough noogies, right?
All tough noogies.
Yep.
So.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us. But before we go, I really want to give a sincere shout out to Tony Gentilcore and Keith Scott, because, I mean, we're really missing them this week on the show. And I just want to rub it into Jimmy's face that I'm going to give them a shout out this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's about damn time you give freaking Keith a shout out. Like, you never do that. I honestly miss that, because it's good to have more dynamics in the show, because we all kind of bring a different perspective. So I miss having those guys in the show. So, oh, I want to give a shout out real quick. I have to get the guy's name. So just, can you talk for a little, and I'll give it out.
Yeah, no, actually, no, I actually do have something to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
In our off-topic movie discussion, because, you know, they finally locked up a director for G.I. Joe and a writer. Yeah, it's Stephen Sommers, the guy who did the Mummy movies.
Nice.
Which I thought they were pretty good. And it looks like they're starting to finalize all the actors. And even Kurt Russell is being thrown around as one of the guys, one of the older guys on the show.
Well, you know, I finally saw The Departed the other day, and they had so many excellent actors in that movie. Like, G.I. Joe should be the same. I saw the trailer for The Dark Knight, though, the next Batman with Christian Bale.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
The movie looks sick, and it was just like a quick trailer, so...
And I like who's the girl that replaced her? Maggie Gyllenhaal is so much hotter than Katie Holmes. Katie Holmes is just a
psycho. Did she replace Katie Holmes' character, or did she?
Yeah,
just...
she's I forget what her character's name was, but director or whatever it is.
I'd be angry if they actually replaced, because I mean, I don't like I'm not a fan of
Katie
Holmes.
Is a psycho. She wouldn't do the movie without like an exorbitant amount of money, so they just made the part smaller. And they just gave it to Maggie Gyllenhaal, who's a fantastic actress.
Really? Because that would suck. I hate when they replace characters with somebody else who's not on it. But I don't know. Whatever. So I think we should wrap up the off-topic here.
Okay. Did you get that name?
No, and then I'll tell you next week.
All right. Was it from Facebook?
No. It was an excellent, excellent... I believe his name was Chris Evans, but I'm going to say it on the show next week. I apologize if I got the name wrong. He actually hooked me up with both pictures that I was looking for. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Oh, I think Heath Ledger's playing the Joker, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he is. That's old news, though.
Oh, my bad.
Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for checking out our Facebook page. I know a lot of you have been up there chatting on the little message board thing there.
That's
so.
Big.
That's great, and continue to do that. Continue to add your friends, and if you want, you can actually post pictures on that. If you want to post like physique photos or anything like that, any kind of exercise photos that you feel like you want to post on there, feel free to do that. And we'll make this a little bit more of a community. And you can also add videos, so it's like
I thought, Kev, you were going to start the first annual FitCast Physique Facebook competition. I thought you were going to talk about that. Apparently not. So, never mind.
I guess right,
that's
next week.
End the show. End the show.
All right. For episode number 64, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jen Heath.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And we'll see you next week. For anniversary of episode 64, go play some GoldenEye. We'll see you all next week. And everyone should know that reference, by the way.
I don't know the reference. I don't care to know it. Sorry.